Father, we thank you so much for your blessing this morning. It's always a blessing to be in your presence, because the Bible says in your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your presence there are pleasures forevermore, pleasures that last forever, permanent marks engraved on our hearts because we came to your presence. We pray today that you will anoint the preaching and teaching of your word and bless our fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Please be seated. Amen. I love coming to church. Amen. And even though as soon as I show up in church, Pastor Henry makes me preach, even though he's supposed to be preaching. But it's okay. Amen. I believe that church is one of the best things anyone can have going for them. Amen. And when God blesses you and he puts you in a church, when God puts you in a church, his intention is to put you in a family. Do you see what I'm saying? And you have to strive to belong to the family. It's not a perfect family, because no family is perfect. I know. Do you have issues in your families? You do? See, yeah, just like mine. Amen. So perfection is not a condition for belonging. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You must not belong to something because it's perfect, because it never upsets you, because it's always working the way you want it to work. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. It's a family. And the Bible says when you become a child of God, God places you in a family. Let me show you this verse, Psalm 68 and verse 6. You know, let me show you that real quick before I continue what I have to share with you. God setteth the solitary in families. Did you see that? It says God sets the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That means those who rebel, those who resist when he's bringing them out. Do you see? When God is trying to place them in a place, they resist. They won't do what God is trying to do for them. But look at it. It says God sets the solitary in families. So you would ask yourself, where is the family of the solitary? If God is now putting him in a family, then where was he before? Do you see what I'm saying? So all of us are being placed by putting us in a church. God is virtually giving you, as it were, a new family. Do you understand? Something to belong to. And it's supposed to be a cure for solitary living. Do you see what I'm saying? God's intention, or God's cure for being alone and being your solitary self, is to put you in a family, to place you in a church, to give you brothers and sisters, to give you new friends, people who will be even closer to you than your own blood brothers and sisters. The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's true. You can have a friend, someone you have met in the house of God, who becomes to you what your own brother or sister has never been to you. Hallelujah. In the church, I have found people who have become to me like parents, people who have become to me like brothers, people who have become to me like sisters. I mean, people who love me, I mean, unconditionally and in a real way. Hallelujah. This is what God is trying to do for everyone. Hallelujah. And so it says he sets them. He sets them. When you set something in a place, it's not a temporary thing. When you put it there, you can move it. But when you set it in a place, you are trying to establish some permanence. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of you to view your membership of this church as such. see that God has set you in this place and take it seriously, because it's going to be a blessing to you. One day you will be glad that you joined Lighthouse Chapel International, if you are not already glad. Hallelujah. That day is coming. Say amen. So tell your neighbor, God set you in my life so I can be a cure to your loneliness. So tell the person, I am family now. Now I am family to you. I'm your family. So tell the person, you need to regard me highly. Because now you need me. Hallelujah. Yeah. You may not choose me, but who chooses their brothers and sisters? Yeah. Sometimes little children try to choose. They see their mothers expecting a baby. This one says, I want a girl. I want a girl. I want a girl. And God will give them a boy. Because nobody chooses their siblings. Hallelujah. You get what you got. And you accept your siblings as they are. And they are your family. And you try to live with them and flow with them. And God will bless you. Say amen. Amen. All right. So we're just sort of wrapping up and finishing our Vision 527. I've been enjoying these messages so much. And we're just finishing, I think, this Sunday, today, and then probably one more next week. And then we'll be through. So next week, make sure you bring your books. Everyone, bring your books. And also, I want to encourage you, all of you who have devices like these, iPads, iPods, and, you know, everything's. I want to encourage you to get electronic versions of these books on your devices. So you can read them all the time, you can have them all the time, and you can have a lot of books on there. Amen. Amen. See, that's where the world is going. It's here to stay. It's not going to change. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, if you think we're going to go back one day to reading books, I'm sorry, we're not going. Amen. So try to keep up with the times and invest in one of these devices so that you can enrich your Christian life and help yourself. Amen? All right. So I am continuing from where I left off on Tuesday. Last Tuesday, I was sharing with you, for those of you who are here, I was sharing with you about accomplishments, about suffering being an accomplishment. Hallelujah. And I remember explaining how that normally when we think of accomplishments, we are thinking of something positive and something that is enjoyable, something that someone has actually achieved, which to every person sounds like it's a positive achievement, and just the sound of it makes you glad. So when people have a new degree, we feel like they have accomplished something. When people build a house, we feel like they have accomplished something. When people get married, we feel like they have accomplished something. When people buy a new car, we feel like they have accomplished something. Even when people put alloy wheels on their car, we feel like finally, you know, something good is working somewhere. Hallelujah. But then we also realize that Jesus spoke of accomplishment not only in such terms, but Jesus expanded the meaning of accomplishment to include things that we would otherwise classify or categorize as negative experiences. Do you see? Things that bring you pain, things that bring you unhappiness, things that make you sad, things that make you cry. And Jesus said that when you survive such things, that is also an accomplishment. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we began to look at a number of them. And we looked at a few on Tuesday. And I just want to continue from there. You know, if you're not here on Tuesday, the podcast is available. And so you can listen to it. But I'm reading from... Oh, I'm teaching from chapter 6 of losing, suffering, sacrificing, and dying, right? And I am now at the point where, okay, the next point is enduring sorrow. Okay, enduring sorrow is an accomplishment of the sufferings of Christ. Okay, I started from enduring temptation. Then number two was enduring pressure. You know, enduring pressure, surviving pressure. Amen. Then number three is enduring betrayal. Then number four was enduring hours of prayer. Spending hours in prayer is an accomplishment. Amen. Do you see how when you start to pray, suddenly you see, you remember all the things you have to do, isn't it? Yeah. Even the phone starts to ring. Anytime you decide, I'm going to sit down and pray, you see so many things occur to you that need attention. You see what I'm saying? So if you're able to overcome those things and sit down and endure the hours of prayer, spending time in prayer, knowing that your life and ministry depend on it, it is an accomplishment. Amen. Another one is enduring sleepless nights. I mean, surviving, staying up and watching at night. When you're very sleepy, but you decide not to sleep, but to stay up and to spend some time with the Lord all night, coming to all night is an accomplishment. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Even arriving here and falling asleep right here is an accomplishment. You will not be the only person. Peter and so on, they arrived with Jesus at the all night. Didn't they go to the all night prayer meeting? They went. But what happened to them? They slept. Yeah. Only one person prayed. That was Christ. But the rest, they slept. You know, they started mumbling something. They started praying, but when they realized Jesus was saying amen. You know, so even bringing yourself to make that sacrifice, because that is what it is. It is a sacrifice. You know, even the thought of it is not attractive and it's not enjoyable. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And when you have small children, oh, it's even more horrible. Because you have to carry them. Sometimes by the time you're leaving home to come to the all night, they're already asleep. So you have to carry them, you know, one, two, three. I'm assuming you have three. Or you will have three. Hallelujah. Yeah. So carrying them one, two, three into the car and then driving your sleepy self. You yourself, you're sleepy. Plus three sleeping children to the church, and then moving them, and then arriving in the church, there are no beds. You have to go to the back, make some blanket for them, and then you put one here and one there and one there. Then you feel like lying, joining them right there. Do you see? It's not a nice experience, but it doesn't mean it should not be done. Yeah. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean it should not be done. I can imagine that one of the reasons why the apostles fell asleep that night is God. They've been walking with Jesus all day. You see, and they didn't have cars. Jesus didn't have a car. You see what I'm saying? So these guys had been walking up and down with him all day. So at night, when the man said, let's go and pray. Hey! You know, they said, okay, we'll go. For the sake of good Christianity, we will go. But they went there, and then Jesus left them over there, and the Bible says he stepped aside and went further to pray. When he went further to pray, then the people said, you know, we'll let everybody pray. And then as they were praying, you know, there's that fine line sometimes between prayer, then the prayer becomes meditation. It's like you're waiting to hear the voice of God. And then you just slip into sleep. Hallelujah. So surviving, you know, drinking coffee or drinking something that, you know, and see, I'm not the one introducing drinking things to you. You see, all of us have drunk things to stay awake. Is it not true? Red Bull, isn't it? Monster something. What's there? Right. Now, I don't know whether those things are good for you or not, but I'm assuming that you are drinking them already for other reasons. So what I'm saying is that why don't you drink it for a good reason, since you're going to drink it anyway? Hallelujah. So it shows that you are serious. Amen. Recently, when I was driving in the night and I was falling asleep, I stopped at the gas station and I went, you know, and some of the worst coffee is the one you find at the gas station on the roadside. They are selling it to people they don't know, people they don't care about, people who are not likely to come by that way anymore. So it's the worst, cheapest coffee, the worst of coffees, you know. And I went and I poured myself some of the coffee, and I poured myself the coffee, no sugar, no milk, just painful raw coffee. You know, I brought it into the car. Even the smell of it, it didn't even smell like coffee. It smelled more like some herbs. But they say it's coffee. Do you see what I'm saying? Then, and I'm doing this because I need to be awake to do what I consider important. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. And I did. It didn't quite work, but at least I did. You see, so what I'm saying is that if you value something, then it starts to dictate what sort of sacrifices you make and what you endure to have it happen. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, it's okay. Everybody must occasionally stay up to pray, stay up to read, stay up to study, stay up to soak in messages or to watch a video. Sometimes you stay up to watch a movie. Who has stayed up to watch a movie before? Raise up your hand. Let me see if you stay. Yeah, you see, so the Lord knows that all of you can stay up if the reason is good enough. Amen. So that's one of the accomplishments. Hallelujah. Now, the next one is enduring sorrow. Enduring sorrow is an accomplishment. Enduring sorrow is an accomplishment of the sufferings of Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Hallelujah. My soul is exceeding what? Sorrowful, isn't it? My soul is exceeding. Can you imagine these words coming out of the mouth of Christ? That Jesus said, I'm very sad. So if Christ, our Master, went through a patch of his life where he felt very sad, you shouldn't be surprised if you have days in your life when you are very sad. Are you getting what I'm saying? You shouldn't be surprised. It shouldn't be a knockout experience at all. It shouldn't knock you off the faith. It does not mean that God has abandoned you. It means what it means, that you are sad. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every good Christian who is following Christ properly will also have some sad moments. Now, it is because we as Christians do not have any room in our lives at all, or room in our beliefs as Christians, for sadness and sorrow. It is because of that that we find ourselves sometimes compromising. Do you understand? Because anything that will put us in a state of loss and a state of sadness does not belong to our belief system. There's no room for our set of beliefs to accommodate an experience that will make you sad. Hallelujah. An experience like breaking up with someone you shouldn't be relating with, that's going to make you sad. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's going to make you sad. Why not? It's going to make you sad. But then because of the sadness, we choose to continue, even in something that should not be the case. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Jesus went through sadness. He said, I am exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I feel like dying. It's like I don't even feel like living. It's like you are so sad, you are almost dying. That is That is what Jesus was experiencing. Hallelujah. So he says here, Bishop says, are you experiencing sorrow? Has your loved one died? Has your family been ripped apart? Has your world changed overnight with the departure of a dear, cherished one? I remember a few years ago, we lost one of our lady pastors, you know. And at the point where I saw it coming, when I saw that, you know, this is what possibly might happen, I remember I began to feel very sad. I remember one day I was driving somewhere and I was just praying and saying aloud to the Lord, I don't know if I'll survive this. That Lord, if this happens, I don't know if I'll survive it. I don't know. Hallelujah. I mean, today I'm on the other side of it and I have survived by the grace of God. But it was not easy at all. I remember the night when, you know, some people were at the hospital and they were calling me and they were telling me that, look, it looks like we're losing her. It looks like we're losing her. And I was sitting in my house and so helpless. And I felt that, God, why? You know, and you just don't know what to say or what to do. I don't know if your life includes such things. Have you had such experiences as a Christian? Maybe not yet. But it's an experience that a Christian can expect to go through. Hallelujah. And Jesus went through it. Jesus went through those experiences. Hallelujah. Sometimes the choices you make as a Christian are going to leave you in a state of sadness. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, as a Christian, it is okay to be sad. It's okay that you are enduring some sorrow because of your relationship with God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at this very powerful verse. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. He says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Did you see that? The Bible says this is thankworthy. It is worthy of thanks. That means you are supposed to give thanks for it. You are supposed to be grateful to the Lord that because of your conscience towards God, you endure grief. Let's say because you don't want to sin, or because you don't want to do something or say something or go to a certain place, and the result of that is that you are plunged into grief. And you begin to suffer wrongfully. You begin to get what you don't deserve. The Bible says that you are supposed to give thanks to the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. See, this is not very popular in a church. You get it? What I'm preaching is not very popular. It's very powerful. I know it's very powerful. It is powerful because I know that in spite of everything else you believe, you know that this is the real experience of Christianity. This is what people really go through. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, that's my job. I'm a pastor and I work with people. And I know that what is really on the ground is not even all the things we are saying, but rather things like this, that you have people, anybody who wants to be a true and good Christian, I tell you, you will not go too far before you realize that for conscience towards God, you have to endure some grief and suffer some things wrongfully. To be booted out of a job, you know, because you told the truth, you know, you will endure grief. I remember years ago we had a brother in Switzerland. He had told a lot of lies to manage to stay in Switzerland. And then when he became a Christian, he decided that he didn't want to flow with these lies and continue. Because you see, some of the lies, you get it, when you start here, you have to tell a series of lies. Just tell, at a point you get tired of it. Because every time you see that, it's fighting with your conscience. Now you either sort of get your conscience seared with it, that means make your conscience really hard, such that it loses its sensitivity to wrongness. Or at a point you're going to say, look, I'm tired of this thing. You see, so this brother actually went to the people and said, look, I came and I told you this is not true. Take me home. So the brother, he was from some an African country, I think more towards the east or the north. Anyway, so of course, for being that truthful and for saying those things, it cost him something. Do you see what I'm saying? It cost him something. And if you're going to be a certain kind of Christian, you will realize that some of the choices you make will end up bringing you pain. Now, look at the next verse, verse 20. The next verse says that, you know, for what he says, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? He says, well, what's the point? I mean, there's no point in suffering because you did wrong and deserved it anyway. You see, sometimes the reasons why Christians suffer is not wrongfully, but rightfully. Do you understand? Yeah, sometimes our sufferings are self-imposed. Our sufferings are natural consequences of choices we make in disobedience. Hallelujah. Choices we make in disobedience to the word of God, in disobedience to the pastor's counsel, in disobedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes nobody has told you anything, but you know in your heart that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're not taking him seriously. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you're not taking him seriously. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you. The Holy Spirit says, it is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. Hallelujah. And I've seen that a lot of Christians suffer. We haven't reached suffering for Christ at all. This is just suffering rightfully for choices you make which you shouldn't be making. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, choices you make you shouldn't be making. Many times I've seen people, you see people, they are just living together. They will not marry. They will not do anything, the proper things. They won't do them. They just get up and live together. You see, and then they start to have a problem. When they start to have a problem, the problem becomes complex because you don't know what it is. Is it a marital problem? Or is it a living together problem? Do you see what I'm saying? Because you don't know. Because first of all, we have to define the definition of who you are in this union is what gives you your privileges and your rights and your obligations. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when we can't define who you are, we cannot assign any obligations to you. And if we can't assign it to you as an obligation, and yet it's being expected by this one, then it's unfair. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because how can we say you owe this to this person when this person is not this to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can get yourself into a lot of suffering and a lot of difficulty because of that. Hallelujah. Do you think you can go to Walmart and get a loaf of bread to go with you to your house without a piece of paper covering it? Can you go to Walmart, just Walmart, and get a loaf of bread to go with you to your house, to stay with you in your house without a small piece of paper covering it? But how come you, a whole grown-up person, can get up and go to somebody's house and live with the person and there's no paper covering it and you don't care? Your bread has a receipt on it, but there is no receipt on your arrival in the place. Yeah. And then you, the man who is doing that to a person, is that how to love somebody? I mean, you have more respect for the loaf of bread than the person you claim to love. You will pay what you have to pay to get the loaf of bread, but you will not pay what you have to pay to make this person your rightful wife or whoever the person is supposed to be, to do the right thing. You will not do that. But what I'm saying is that when we lay the wrong foundation, we are going to have problems, and these problems have nothing to do with sufferings of Christ. These are just buffetings. Where's the buffet? You see, it says, for what glory is it? What glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults? These are just free buffetings that you are just receiving for disobedience and for not walking according to the word of God. Hallelujah. You may not like what I'm saying, but let me just really explain the thing to you properly. Hallelujah. See, this is my job. My job is to share with you the word of God and to help you to understand what is not going to help you. Hallelujah. But he says that there is another place where now you are not doing any such wrong thing, but you are being suffering because you are doing well. He says, when ye do well and suffer for it. So you see some people, they go to church and when they come back to their house, there's a problem with their husband or a problem with their wife. Do you understand? Because they went to church, they went to serve the Lord, or even they gave an offering in a church. Hallelujah. I heard about one lady, they were in a church and her husband, they were having fundraising in the church and the husband raised up his hand to give an offering and she pulled his hand out like that. Rubbish. You have not bought my shoes. You want to give offering in the church. Hallelujah. Yeah. He says that if when you suffer because of your faith, you suffer because of your faith, you take it patiently. The Bible says this is acceptable with God. Hallelujah. So it's not every tear of yours that God is about to wipe. Some of the tears, God says, it's okay to have them. This is good. It's acceptable. This is great. It's okay. It's okay. Because Jesus did that for you too. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. Amen. So don't complicate your life by adding, you see, we should do this, then you are doubling the suffering. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there's a whole set of sufferings that are coming because you know Christ and are trying to live righteously in Him. Do you understand? And there's no need to complicate them with disobedience also. I pray that anybody who is listening to me who is in any sort of complicated situation will get out in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you hearing the word of God? Yes. Right. So that is another accomplishment. When you endure sorrow, you survive, you are sad, but you are still in Christ. Amen. There are some of you, you wake up in the morning, you don't feel too happy. You don't want to come to church. You don't feel too happy. Just come to church. Just come to church. Who says every day must be a happy day? The fact that you're experiencing it means that that is how life is. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, it's not every day that you are supposed to be smiling or I don't know. It's not. That's, you see, you can see that God has made the facial muscles flexible. Do you get it? If God wanted there to be permanent smiles, it would just have stayed one way. The flexibility means that it's supposed to be able to move in and out. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes it's in, sometimes it's out. What matters is what is going on in your heart. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, we need to learn to be stable and to have relationships with God that are not dependent on things. My husband is happy with me. He's not happy with me. I'm quarreling with my brother. My boss said something. You know, all those kinds of things have to go away. And have a Christian life and a relationship with God that stands in spite of whatever is happening in your life. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Should be able to come to church when nobody even knows what email you have just received on your way here. Yeah. Nobody knows what you just read before you came here. No one knows what you just heard. No one knows who has just died. No one knows who has just been fired. But you are coming anyway and you are sitting in the house of God. Yeah, it may not be a hallelujah moment. It need not be. God is not expecting you to come and pretend. Yeah. God knows you through and through. Yeah, no one can fake it before the Lord. Yeah, even you can see when someone is smiling and there's no... Have you seen any of those smiles? That smile has nothing behind it. You get it. You can see that. You see, there's nothing behind it. Do you understand? It's a limp smile. It has no attitude. There's no realism behind it. There's no person behind the smile. It's just a face arranging itself. And God is not interested in any of that. God is not interested. God knows exactly what. Rather, he wants you to be yourself and come to him as you are. Peradventure, he may touch you somewhere with something, to change something, to give you some hope. That's right. And before you leave the service, you rather find out that you have become lighter and God has lifted you up and encouraged you a little bit. God has caused something to be said in the service that has given you some ray of hope and is causing you to live again. That's why we come to church. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, you can find pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. God wants you to come to his presence with a good attitude. He wants you to come and be glad that, look, I have a relationship with God that will not change and will not be changed by what is going on around me. Hallelujah. Amen. That sorrow and the losses I have experienced in my life will not change my relationship with God. That I'm still going to be solid. I'm still going to be firm. Look, it doesn't matter how many interviews you attend and are not taken. You may not be able to explain it. And we really can't explain everything. And you will not be the first person who couldn't explain things. I was sharing with you the other day about Zachariah and Elizabeth, who were priests. The Bible says the man was, he was a priest. And his wife was the daughter of a priest. Do you get it? The guy was a pastor and his wife was the pastor's kid. And the Bible says they couldn't have children. Look, and the word that is used, the phrase, they were well stricken with years. Means time has passed over the condition. And yet the Bible says when the time came, in the order of his course, according to the time when he was supposed to be there, he was still there serving the Lord, burning incense, because that was his job. It says his according the, where is the thing, Doreen? Do you know where it is? Luke chapter 1. Just show it to me quickly. Let me just show you that verse before I go on very quickly. I don't know if we'll even have time to go on, but at least we're there. Would you want to see it?
Yes.
Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Okay, so let me take my time and share it with you. It's not like God has given us a syllabus to complete. And, Luke chapter 1 and verse what? Verse 8 and verse 9. Okay, Luke chapter 1 verse 8 and verse 9. Now look at verse 5. I was telling you they are both. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. You see, Aaron was the high priest and his wife was from that family, and then he himself was a priest in his own right. And the Bible says they were both righteous. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, even by the credentials, the fact that he's a priest and she's the daughter of a priest, you know, presupposes they are good people. Yesterday, somebody was telling me, you two are supposed to be pastors, so I suppose you are good people. That's what the person told me yesterday. So, yeah, you people are supposed to be, you two are pastors, so you're supposed to be good people. That is it. So, when you hear that these people have been described this way, means they are good people. They are good people. Before you read in verse 6 that they were both righteous before God. Because the first judgment is as we perceive it. Do you understand? But this second one is according to God. That truly they were good people. Because a lot of people, they are supposed to be good people, but they are not good people. But this one, good by human standards and good by God's standards. The Bible says they were walking in all the commandments of the Lord and ordinances of the Lord. Blameless. Blameless. Both of them. Because again, what's more common is one. You get it? One good person, one beauty, and one beast. But here, it's not a case of Beauty and the Beast. These are two beauties, or this is a prince and beauty getting together. And yet the Bible says, they had no child. Did you see that in verse 7? They had no child. Now, they had no child for anyone who wants a child equals sadness. So I don't know what you don't have. Maybe yours is not a child. But they had no child. They had no job. They had no visa. They had no beloved. They had no whatever. Even though they were both righteous and they were both blameless, walking in all the ordinances of God. Listen. You either believe the truth about the word of God and expand your thinking and your maturity and your relationship with God to be this deep, or continue walking in a very shallow theology. Because if you continue that way, I can guarantee that it won't be long before you have an experience that will knock you out of the faith. You will not be able to explain why someone as good as you, who just paid your pledge, how do you go to church the next Sunday or go to work the next Monday and you lose your job? And you just made a pledge based on the job. And you're saying, well, Lord, I don't understand this. Since the job is not there anymore, I don't know if you're still expecting me to pay my pledge. And you'll be surprised that the Lord's answer is, yes, I'm expecting you to. Because you said you would. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It says they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. Now, verse 8. It came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course. Do you understand? That means when it was time for his group to do their job, the guy came to church and he still executed the work of a priest in spite of his personal setbacks, in spite of what was obviously not working for him in his personal life. The Bible says in verse 9, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot or his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That was his job. That was his job. He had a job in the church which he would perform regardless of what was going on in his life. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? That was according to the custom of the priest. According to the role that had been given to him, his job was this. Your job is to burn incense in the church. So you can see, if you read the scripture, the Bible says that people were waiting and praying without at the time of incense. Multitudes were depending on him to do his job. So they had all come, and the way it worked was that they would be outside, and while the guy is preparing the temple and burning the incense. But the people have come to church, you know, regardless of what's going on in your life, they want to serve the Lord, and they have come. And as they have come, they are also depending on you to do what you are also supposed to do, regardless of what is going on in your life. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So if your job is to arrange the chairs, they're expecting you to arrange it. As they have come waiting outside, they're expecting that there'll be a chair inside for them. If your job is to play the instruments, they're expecting that you will play no matter what is going on. If your job is to sing, they're expecting that you will sing. If your job is to lead the prayer, if your job is to work the stuff at the back, they are expecting, they have come. The multitude were without. Without means outside. You know, they were without at the time of incense, and they were just waiting. So we don't know what happened to Zechariah. We didn't put Zechariah in that situation. We have not taken Zechariah's babies. We just want to serve the Lord. And Zechariah is the one who has been appointed to burn incense before we serve the Lord. Why should we go without? Because Zachariah's baby didn't come. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So it is very important that we become as constant like this couple. You know, and the rest of the story you can read when you go home. But you see that on this day, the Bible says, as he was doing his job in verse 11, the Bible says, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. You know, the miracle occurred on a day that he didn't expect. Can you imagine if Zacharias didn't come to church on that day, this day? The day that the Lord had chosen Gifty, the day that the Lord had just spoken to the angel and said, today is the beginning of the end of this situation for Zachariah. Wow. So today, when Zachariah goes to the church to go burn the incense, I want you to go with there. The angel's name was Gabriel. I want you to go in there and talk to him and tell him that starting today, that situation has ended. And that is the day that Zachariah chooses not to go to church. Yeah, because today he's not in the mood. Elizabeth is having a fit in the house, and Zachariah doesn't know what to do about it. He doesn't know what to tell Elizabeth anymore. He has quoted all the scriptures he knows to encourage Elizabeth. I mean, the thing is down to the wire, and the only thing that can be done today is to stay home with Elizabeth and nurse her. And that happens to be the day that the angel of the Lord is bringing a miracle. You see, I am here to tell you today that you never know. You see, you never know. You never know. You never know. And that's one of the reasons why you must not give up. That's why you must not give up. Every race gets toughest when it's about to end. The time you feel like quitting the most is the time you must not quit at all. The time you feel like giving up the most is the time when you need to hold on the more. Because usually, it's just coming to an end. Hallelujah. Amen. When you think you're going to pass out, that's just about when you need to go the extra mile just to finish. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I want to encourage you this morning, do not succumb to sorrow. Hallelujah. Do not succumb. Don't let it affect you. Understand that Jesus was also sorrowful. He said, I'm exceeding sorrowful, but he still went ahead and died for us. Do you understand? He said, I don't feel good about this. I don't feel happy about this. And he was not afraid to say it. Because Jesus didn't have a Superman image that had no room in it for admission of sorrow. Do you see, Leslie? See, sometimes we can be tempted, Akwesi, to have a Superman image that you cannot admit that, Charlie, I mean, it's not going well. I don't feel happy today. It's not working. Are you getting what I'm saying? But Jesus was able to admit it. And he's a man. He's a man. He's a man. Some people think that when you're a man, it means that, you know, yeah, you're not supposed to be crying. In my country, they say a man is not supposed to be crying. You're supposed to do all your crying as a baby. Are you getting what I'm saying? But Jesus was not afraid to admit to the guys that, look, I don't feel happy at all today. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Even unto death, I tell you, I don't feel happy. I'm so disappointed. I don't feel good. I feel so let down. I feel so disappointed about this situation. But he still went ahead and died for us. Amen. Amen. What are you going to go ahead and do in spite of your sorrow? Hallelujah. In spite of your sorrow, even if you write your exam and it doesn't go well, please come and sing for us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Please come and turn on the equipment for us. Please come and arrange the chairs for us. And join us and let's worship this God whom you have an issue with. Do you understand? Yeah. Because it's only a matter of time before God will arise and shine on your behalf. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me quickly mention one more to you before we close. The next one is abandonment. Enduring abandonment. Enduring abandonment is an accomplishment of the sufferings of Christ. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 74, the Bible says, Peter began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Hallelujah. Yeah. Being abandoned is another kind of suffering. You have to experience it to know what it is like to be abandoned by all and sundry. Jesus Christ was abandoned by his disciples. No one seemed to know him anymore. Peter angrily rebuked anyone who tried to associate him with Christ. I don't know him and I don't want to know him. He's on his own now. If he insists on dying, it's up to him. We tried to advise him, but he called us Satan. We tried to save him in the garden and he would have none of it. So now you're on your own. Have you ever been told that before? You're on your own. I told you that, you know, this church thing is something that you have to do in moderation. But you insist that you want to go to church on Sunday and Tuesday, you're on your own. You're on your own. Yeah. It's a very common experience for people who mean to serve God seriously. Yeah. You see, your friend will introduce somebody to you who is obviously an unbeliever, does not serve the Lord, does not care about God, is not interested in God. There's nothing to it at all. And then your friend is saying that, look, here is somebody that I have brought to you. You should marry the person. Or sometimes the person is even married to somebody else. And then your friend starts to advise you that, look, you are a student. Times are hard. Do you understand? Look, I know that you like Christ, and say, but we are talking about practicality. You see, let's be practical and let's be real. Do you understand? This is just something on the side. It's just small. It doesn't mean that this is going to be your husband forever or anything. We're just talking about small things on the side just to, you know, after all, someone can have a job at Walmart on the side and someone can flip beggars on the side to have a little money. You two, you are not Walmarting or McDonald's beggar flipping. But, I mean, this is also, it's also, we all do something on the side. And then you say no, because I'm a Christian. And then there's really no. This is the last time I'm going to offer this guy to you. You still say no, then you're on your own. That's when your rights end. That's when your lunches disappear. That's when all your favors, even when sometimes you couldn't pay your rent, they'll cover you. Now they say you should pay. Yeah. So we want you to know, we want you to know that life takes money. It is because we have been doing you these favors that you don't want to be practical. Do you understand? And when you get up every day, you say Bible, Bible, as though we are not Christians. So now you're on your own. You're on your own. Yeah. When rent time comes, we are demanding your share of the rent fully. Yeah, pay us. We all came to rent this apartment. Four of us, we are sharing the rent. Yeah, sometimes, you know, I cover you with my... Where do you think I get my money from? When I show you what to do so you can contribute to the rent, you are making me out to be a fool. Yeah. You think me, I'm a prostitute. Is that what you are saying to me? That's what you are saying to me. Yeah, so pay. You be in the room, you pay your rent. I tell you, That's why you see all the back passes, they go to Panda Express, they bring you some, they go to pizza, Sissy's pizza. You see, these are all, you know, $5 pizza type of thing. You know, they bring you something, they bring all these things, will just disappear. They all disappear and you'll be there in your house with bananas. Yeah. You see, you can't even do your hair. I tell you, and people are with you who can help you, but they are watching you. They are watching you suffer because you said you will not compromise. They abandon you and they leave you to your fate. Peter told Christ twice. Peter tried to help Christ. Number one, when Jesus said he was going to die, he told him, don't say such things. Jesus called him Satan for that. Number two, when they came to arrest Christ in the garden, he brought a sword, which he had smuggled to the prayer meeting. You just wonder, how does the guy bring the sword to the prayer meeting? But anyway, he found the sword and he cut off the guy's ear. And right before everybody, Jesus took the ear and put it back. What an embarrassment. Me, I'm trying to help you, and you are embarrassing me. Now you're on your own. They've come to arrest you now. You say, I should say, I know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Anybody who is going to serve Christ to any serious level is going to experience that. You experience it from family, you experience it from employers, you experience it from friends, you experience it from people that you thought cared about you, you experience it from roommates, from apartment mates, from all kinds of people who are helping you a little bit. Do you understand? And they say that you don't want to help yourself, and so they are cutting back their help. And then you find yourself on your own, abandoned. But enduring abandonment, taking the abandonment and being on your own for real and suffering the consequences of it is an accomplishment. In the eyes of God, you have achieved something. Yeah. God celebrates you the same way people would celebrate you if you came to them and said, I have just completed my master's degree. And they say, oh, wow, what an accomplishment. You have done well for yourself. God puts such sufferings at the same level. He puts it on the same pedestal and he says that, look, anybody who has been abandoned, but who didn't abandon me because they were abandoned, but who continued to serve me and who continued to suffer the shame and the embarrassment and being without. Oh, I tell you, going with Christ sometimes will mean that you won't have money. Hey, in this world, if you're going to live with Christ and walk with Christ, you will find out that it's not every source of money that you are allowed to or that is appropriate to embrace. And if you won't do that, then it means you are signing up for times without. Yeah, times without money, times without jobs. You are signing up for walkings, which are not for exercise. People see you walking, they think you are exercising. They don't know you are coming home. Yeah, it's not exercise at all. They see you have been eating breakfast, no lunch. They think you are fasting. But it's not fasting at all. There is nothing to eat. In your heart, there's no fasting going on. There's just nothing to eat. Nothing to eat. Oh, nothing to eat for real. Because you said you follow Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says this is what we... Look, where's the... During the previous Peter... verse we were reading. Let's finish that quickly and we close. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2. And from verse 19, I think, let's read around 20. For this is thank... Verse 20. Give us 20. 20. And we'll read on. Ezekiel, for what glory is it? And then the next one says, this is acceptable with God. Then verse 21. For what glory? Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called. Do you see? Michael, this is what you were called unto. That because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Amen. It is a wrong teaching not to expect that you will have some suffering because you believe in Christ. Do you see? He said he left us an example that ye should follow his steps. And the next verse, verse 20, who did no sin? He hadn't done anything wrong. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And the next verse, verse 23. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body. No, it's okay. I think you bare in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Wow. He's saying that somebody suffered for us. That's how come we are in church today. Otherwise, we were like sheep going astray. But he took stripes. By whose stripes we were healed. So the pain was on someone, but the benefit was on another person. And the Bible says that's an example. So in your life as a Christian, God is expecting that you will take pain that brings benefit to others. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You take pain that brings benefit to others. You stay awake and it brings benefit to another person. You go for choir practice so that others will come and listen to your singing. As you've gone for choir practice, nobody knows what it costs you to go to choir practice. But you go for choir practice and you sing, and in 5 minutes somebody just dismisses a song. It's not nice. They don't even know that, even just for the travel time from Alameda to Fremont, at least for that, say that the song is nice. You get it? But yeah, 1 hour from that place to Fremont to do your 2-3 hour rehearsal and another hour back. The whole thing is 5 hours to sing a song that lasts 5 minutes, which someone dismisses after 2 minutes. Wow, it's fantastic. By your stripes, people will be healed. The Bible says it is an example. It is an example. It is an example. Fred, it's an example. This is Christ did it for you. And the Bible says he left it for you to copy. Expect that, Sheila. Expect it. That by your stripes, because you went to an all night, somebody is going to join the church.
Amen.
Yeah, because you went, you stayed awake, you struggled, you went to all night Friday, the whole Saturday you were confused. Yeah, sometimes that happens. You don't even know what time it is. You are just confused. Your whole body clock is just messed up. You are sleeping at the wrong place. You are yawning at the wrong place. You don't know whether it's hunger or sleep or whatever it is. You are just confused your whole day, and you say to yourself, I'll never go to another all night. But you don't know that it is because of your prayers that night that so and so is still in the Lord, that so and so is in Christ, that so and so is still serving the Lord. He says he left us an example. Do you understand? That he had done no wrong, but he suffered. And I'm trusting God that all of us will be elevated to a level where our suffering is not because we did wrong, but that we have done no wrong, but we are suffering because of the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. And our suffering will bring blessing to other people. Hallelujah. It will bring life to other people. Other people's lives will be healed. Other people's marriages will be healed. Other people's children will be restored. Other people's lives will be mended. Their broken lives will be mended. And above all, other people will have salvation because of your stripes. So take those stripes. Take those stripes. Yeah, they may be painful, but take those stripes. And they will bring healing to many people. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close tonight. Hallelujah. Right. Let's pray just quickly, please. I'm sure there are people there this afternoon and people here this afternoon who can identify with some of the things we've been talking about today. You have either been abandoned because of the cause of Christ, or you have endured sorrow also because of the cause of Christ. But today God wants to encourage you, and God wants to let you know that, you know, He hasn't abandoned you. Man may abandon you, but God never abandons any of His own. God is faithful. You can trust Him. You can count on Him. I just want you to take a minute just to pray for yourself. Everybody, just pray for yourself. And there are some of you, you haven't yet come to that place where you would suffer because of something you believe. But I want you to pray and say, Lord, when that day comes, I want you to strengthen me. I want you to strengthen me. I don't want to fall. I don't want to give up. I don't want to let you down when that day comes, when I have to lose something because of Christ. I want to continue to believe. I want to continue to follow in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just pray, everybody. Just pray. Open your mouth and say, Lord, strengthen me in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. I give it all to you. Oh, yes. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all, Jesus, all to Thee. Up your hand, everybody, to the Lord and say, I am totally yours and I'm surrendering fully to you. Whatever your will is for my life, whatever your plans are for my life, Lord, let your will be done. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Sing it one last time. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender. I give it up for you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Oh, yes, Lord. All to Thee. Some people lose relationships. Someone who was going to marry them does not marry them anymore. because they wouldn't compromise. Some lose jobs. Some lose best friends. Some lose money. All because of Christ. But there is nothing that a man can give in exchange for his soul. That means there's nothing you have or there's nothing you are that is more valuable than your soul. And that is exactly what Christ gave his life to redeem. All the things you are giving to serve Christ cannot be compared with what he gave to save the most precious part of you. And if Christ did it for you, the scripture says it's an example. He's showing you what you may also have to give up in order to be one of his followers. Father, I pray today in Jesus' name that you help your people. You know everyone here today and you know their circumstances. You know what choices and what situations are before them right now. And today we pray in the name of Jesus that you will give them grace to be obedient, to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, to follow the voice and the promptings in their conscience about what they need to lose in order to gain Christ. I pray, Lord, that you will put it in our hearts to esteem our relationship with you greater than everything else in our lives. I pray that as you paid the ultimate price for us, we will also rise up and pay what we have to pay for others to have life, and for others to have blessing, and for others to be able to make it to heaven in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed today? Or are you angry with me? You're not angry with me.